But opportunities present themselves to all of us, whether we miss them or we take them, we even realize their opportunities. They are a part of our lives. And today we're going to talk about opportunities. And where I want to get to with this is seeing God in our opportunities. And there's a phrase, opportunity knocks, right? So I want to play on that a little bit. And I want us to think about it like this. When opportunity knocks, see if God is at the door. So when opportunity knocks, see if God is at the door. Basically, let's see how and if God can be in this opportunity. And we're going to see that today in Ruth chapter 2. We are in our second week of our little mini-series on the book of Ruth, which is entitled God in Every Chapter of Your Story, because we will find God in every chapter of the book of Ruth. And last week we talked about God in our relationships, and today God is in our opportunities. So Ruth is going to take an opportunity that she has, and we're going to see how God kind of works through it in three different ways. So we'll do it similarly last week. We'll talk through the whole chapter. We'll kind of see what's going on in the story and where God is, and then how we can apply that similar feel to our lives. Now, before we dive into the actual chapter, I want to talk about Ruth's opportunity because it's very, it was a custom at her time, but it might be one we're not familiar with. So what Ruth is going to have the opportunity to do is what's called gleaning. She gets to glean in the fields. And what this means is pretty simply, she's going to go in the fields behind the harvesters, and they're allowed to pick up the leftover grain or whatever kind of falls to the ground or gets left behind. And this is something, it's part of Mosaic law. Leviticus 19:9-10 says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. So this was a custom that God put in place. So this is for poor people, for foreigners coming into the land. They are allowed to do this. Now, it wasn't always followed super well. If we know the Old Testament or the Bible, some people follow God's laws really well, some not so much. But the point is, this was a known practice. All right, this was a custom. It was well known. Ruth is going to go glean in the field. And I want to make sure we know this is happening, because this really, her gleaning sets up this chapter and really sets off the rest of the book of Ruth. All right, so that's what she's going to go do. We're going to start by reading Ruth 2, 1 through 13. This is our long section of the day. It will be up here if you want to follow along with me. Your Bible's on the table, should have it bookmarked. I will read Ruth 2. We're going to start right away with verse 1 through verse 13, and then we'll talk about what happened. So it says this. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. Whenever you're thirsty, go get a drink from the water jar. The water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you didn't know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. All right, let's talk real quick here a little bit about what is going on in this first part. So the first thing that happens, verse 1, we meet Boaz. Boaz is going to be our third main character. We met Ruth and Naomi last week. Boaz is character 3, kind of the main guy. He's of high social standing. From what we know, he's a fairly powerful person. socially. Also, he's from the clan of Elimelech. This is important because this links him in a family line to Naomi and then to Ruth. Remember, Elimelech, if you were here last week, was Naomi's husband. He passed away. So this is important. Also note, we introduce him here. Ruth and Naomi have no idea yet that they're going to Boaz's field or any of this kind of stuff. All right, so then, by chance, Ruth goes to glean, and it is the field of Boaz. She doesn't know him. She doesn't know who it is yet. So then Boaz shows up, and he kind of greets everyone. They greet him back. This kind of shows Boaz has a good rapport with his workers, seems fairly friendly to care about them. And he asks who Ruth is. He hasn't seen this woman before, so who is this? And it's his overseer, would be like his foreman, gives kind of a lengthy response. And it's like, well, she's a woman. She came back from Moab. She's with Naomi. And she asked for permission to glean between the sheaves. Usually you would go kind of behind them or outside of them, so it's a big deal. She kind of asked for this. And she's been working hard all day. So he kind of gives this detailed report of who she is. And the foreman had given her permission to do this. So Boaz then reinforces that permission, wants her to stay in this field and go nowhere else. She's like, you can stay here. You'll be safe. You'll be protected. You'll have what you need. Go ahead. And Ruth seems a little bit surprised by how of a gracious response she got. And she expresses some gratitude almost by questioning, like, how? Like, why are you this great, this awesome to me? And Boaz says, I heard what you did for Naomi. What happened to your life? And he blesses her similar to how Naomi did. And then Ruth says, I wish to continue to find favor with you. So where is God in this opportunity? So we have this opportunity. She's able to glean in the field. Where is he? Well, she happened to pick a field where she'll be safe. God is in the providing. All right, God provides here for her. She happened to pick a field where she'll be safe, where she can glean, and where she can get enough food for what she needs. She doesn't know this would happen. Gleaning in a field could have gone horribly wrong for her. But God led her to this field, to the field of Boaz, to a man of good standing. This is a good dude who's given her permission, providing her safety, water, all these things she may not have gotten, but she is provided just for what she needs. Just her needs, but they are provided for. And honestly, in the end, she seems gracious. She seems very content having just what she needs. Having just what she needs. There, some of you know me. I am a country music fan. I'm also, back in the day, was a fan of Hootie and the Blowfish. Well, the lead singer from Hootie, Darius Rucker, went country, and he wrote a song about this very thing, being content with what you have. Here's my guy, Darius Rucker, right here. I'm going to go kind of play off what Ashley said about missed opportunities. Hootie toured for the last time not long ago, and I didn't go see him, so I never got to see him play live. There was a missed one. But he wrote this song called All Right. And it's all these words, like, I don't need a 5-star reservation. I got spaghetti, a cheap bottle of wine. Don't need a concert in the city. I got a stereo and the best of Patsy Cline. And he keeps going in this song about how he doesn't need all this fancy stuff. He's got all he needs, and it's all right. He's content. He's perfectly fine. Now, yes, this is in relation to a relationship. He's like, I don't have to take this girl out to a fancy dinner. We're right here. We got everything we need. He's got just what he needs. God uses our opportunities to provide for us. God meets our needs through opportunities. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So think about, what needs do you have, or what needs have you had? We oftentimes think about needs in terms of financial. Have you had a need financially that God has come through for? What about friendship? You just needed somebody in your life, and God put them there. You needed time, just a little extra time, that extra day, that extra hour. And through some opportunity, God has met that. How has God provided for that need and an opportunity he's given you? Because he does. He's there. We just have to be willing to look for him and see the fact that in the opportunities we have, God will provide for our needs. So that's the first part of this, is God provides through our opportunities. Let's keep going in Ruth. We're going to look at verses 14 through 18 to see our next part. It says, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks from her, or for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. All right, let's talk about the story. Boaz invites Ruth to eat with them. She accepts, and she comes and sits with the harvesters. Why does this matter? Boaz, in essence, is elevating Ruth's status at this point. She's a foreigner. She's a woman. He invites her to sit with the harvesters, which would have been a societal step up. Old Testament culture, New Testament culture, status in society was incredibly important. Hierarchical societies were a big thing. So this is a big deal. She's got a status being elevated by Boaz. So then she goes to work. Ruth goes off to work. Boaz now specifically addresses his workers, not through his foreman. He goes right to them and says, leave her be, period. Leave her alone. Don't go near her. She's fine. Gleaners weren't always treated well, right? Again, maybe the poor or the downtrodden or foreigners, he is saying, you leave her be. Then he levels up. He says, go ahead and drop some of the harvest you've picked and let her pick that up. Some of the good stuff, some of the stuff you've collected, drop it. This is unheard of for a gleaner to get to do, but Boaz says, I want you to do this for her. So Ruth is out there. She's working hard. Towards the end, they measure what she has collected, and it is an astonishing amount. This ephah, this would have been an unheard of, crazy amount, way more than could have been expected. She has overshot what she could have thought she was going to get. And the fact that she was able to do this also shows that the workers Boaz had talked to followed what he said, because she wouldn't be able to do it if they hadn't listened to him. They had to comply with this. He was being so incredibly generous. This is a great thing. So Ruth goes back to Naomi and brings what she has collected, this abundance, this crazy amount of food. So where's God? Well, he's in that abundance. Ruth and Naomi needed food. They got more than what they needed. They got an abundance. This is extra. This is a lot of food. In general, I'm going to guess gleaning wasn't something that usually provided this, but they got it. They had a bunch out of this deal. God also gave an abundance of generosity towards Ruth through Boaz. He was incredibly generous. The status elevation, extra food, water, being able to sit with them. He is being incredibly generous. This abundance of generosity for Ruth and even Naomi all through Boaz. Abundant generosity. Last week was the Oscars, the Academy Awards. Anybody watch the award shows? Anybody? One?
Yeah,
Julie? Okay. I did not watch. I'm not a movie buff. All I know is Top Gun Maverick did not win Best Picture, which makes me very sad. It won sound. It won one award. It should have swept all the awards it was up for.
I agree.
Thank you. Brad agrees. This is why I need Brad around. I'm not a movie buff. I haven't probably seen any of them. But here's one thing I do know about the Oscars. There is a company called Distinctive Assets that gives out what's called the Everyone Wins bag. Now, I have a fundamental issue with the title of that because not everyone wins. But what they do is this company gives out bags to the top nominees in different categories. There were 26 total bags given out this year. Now, what comes in these bags, this is where we get to our abundance and our generosity. There's a luxury Canadian getaway, voucher for it, just in the bag. Sure, just go have a vacation in Canada. An Italian getaway as well. There were vouchers for various cosmetic procedures, because Hollywood needs more of that. Apparently, one of Oprah's favorite soaps was in the bag this year, and as well as some chocolate-covered pretzels, because they might get hungry on their trip to Canada or something, right? They're receiving more than what's needed or what expected. Does anybody take a stab at the value of one of these bags? Because I found out the monetary value. Anybody? These were $126 this year. $126,000 value in that bag. That's a crazy amount. This company, Distinctive Assets, is being incredibly generous, abundantly generous to these people by giving out this bag of stuff. Now, when we talk about abundance in our own stories, I don't necessarily want to go quite as far as that to like super amounts of excess or lavishness, but when's God provided more than maybe what you expected? He gave that little extra oomph. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It could be financial. Maybe you're just like, man, I'm okay, but a little extra would help, and God came through. or just opportunities. We look at Ruth, right? Like her status moved up. Maybe God's working through that, and he's just like, gave us a little bit more when you didn't expect. Now, I think I've tended to notice the abundance coming when I'm finally settled in and actually doing a little more in doing well with contentness. So I'm content with where I am, and then God just goes and does his thing and gives me that little bit extra, more than what was expected, maybe even a little bit more than what I needed somewhere. Now I want to look at the other side, because that would be being like Ruth. But what about being like Boaz? Because Boaz gave abundantly. Boaz was abundantly generous. Do you have an opportunity to be abundantly generous? And this can take on a whole bunch of different forms. It could be money. Can you be abundantly generous giving to something or someone? It can be time. Can you be abundantly generous with your time to somebody that needs it, or a group that needs it, or people that need it, or your resources? Maybe you just have access to things or contacts somewhere that would help people. How about being abundantly generous with your attention? That you're actually focused on the people you're with. This is the one I got to work on. All right? Especially at home with my families. I'm like, my attention is 8 different directions at home. But being abundantly generous with that attention to someone. But being abundantly generous. Maybe you can build somebody up. You know, Ruth had a status to be able to be built up. That's what Boaz did. Maybe we can help build someone up in the Lord. With our time, what we say to them, how we spend our time with them. We can give that, but we have to just see the opportunity to do so. So we can look at where has God given us an abundance, but also where can we give an abundance and be abundantly generous. So God, it was in the abundance. Let's look at the final part. Ruth 2, 19 through 23, the final piece of this says, her mother-in-law asked her, so Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "The man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all of my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. End of chapter 2. All right, so Ruth comes back with all she's gathered, and Naomi seems super excited about this. She has this double question, like, where did you glean? Whose field was this? Now remember, she doesn't yet know it's the field of Boaz. We know that, but she doesn't know yet. So she just offers this blessing. And whoever it is, man, this is great. And then Ruth, I think if we had like an actual narrator here, would dramatically be like, "The field, it was Boaz." And then Naomi gets this, oh my gosh, it was Boaz. You got to understand, he's part of the family. He's showing kindness to you and to me and even all those that have passed away. She gets really excited. Like if you know, I'll say it this way. Like if you know Julie and I, you could tell us the same thing and we're going to get very different reactions, right? Like you could tell Julie something cool, like me something cool, I'd be like, "Yo, Eugene, that's super dope, man." You tell Julie and she'd be like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. This is way more Julie than Jeff, okay? Way more. She has to be excited about this because she's realizing what can come. He's a relative. He's showing kindness. He's what's called a guardian redeemer or a kinsman redeemer. What this means is somebody that's in the family line, which he is, remember, said clan of Elimelech, so this is our family connection, has a responsibility or duty to help them, to help the family. More of that's going to come next week in the last 2 weeks. So then Ruth explains, "Well, I have this invitation now. I can work with the harvesters." That's a rare invitation for a foreigner to receive. He's just keep telling Naomi about how great this is, and she's like, "Take this offer. Make sure he knows how kind he's being. Respect him. It'll keep you safe. We're going to be provided for. We might have a future now." Things are looking up at the end of this chapter. So where is God? He's setting up the future. First off, Ruth is allowed to come back to this field. This may not have happened elsewhere. If she'd gone to a field that wasn't safe or didn't produce enough food or she was being heckled or tormented or anything like that, she might have had to move around with no consistency. She has consistency here. She'll be provided for in the future. Also, this kinsman redeemer piece is a future blessing. Boaz, from everything we can tell, is an upright guy. He seems like he's going to do the right thing and continue to help them in the field. So through gleaning in this field, God sets up Ruth and Naomi's future. I also think he's setting up a little bit of Naomi's future with her heart. If we remember back to last week, Naomi wanted to be called Mara. She wanted to be called Mara because she was bitter. She was that uncooked raw Brussels sprout we talked about last week. She went away full and returned home empty. But now, her tune is starting to change. She's showing some excitement. Hope appears to be returning to Naomi, and God is setting her up to kind of pull back. God's like, I'm still here. My kindness, my blessings, my love still apply to you, even though you went through this rough patch. She was having a tough time with that last week. So we have this opportunity that is setting up the future. I think many of us can look back at opportunities that we've taken or not taken and see how it's played a role in the future. And I'll share one of mine. This is not high school Jeff. We're going to go to adult Jeff now. Not nearly as entertaining, but a little more serious. I took a job offer now, 7.5 years ago or so, that I thought was going to set up the future, and it did, but not at all in the way I thought it was going to happen. So I'd worked at a coffee shop for a number of years. It closed, August of 2015. So I had to get a new job. Started a new job September of 2015, and I kind of thought this was going to be when I was going to be up for a long time. It was the most money I'd ever made at a job. Had really good benefits. There was an upward trajectory. I was starting at the bottom of the barrel. There was plenty of place to climb up, and this was good. Now, at the same time, Stacy's pregnant with Jeremiah, so our first son. So I start the job in September. I go through training. I get out of training late October. I'm working the real job. Jeremiah's born in November. So now, working a new job, we're first-time parents having no clue what we're doing, and I was getting very unhappy. I was performing okay at my job, but I hated it. Really didn't like it. I was miserable. Finally, to the point where I had a total breakdown. Went and saw a doctor, was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and I was like, I'm a mess. And I knew something had to change. So what I did was I left my job and became a stay-at-home parent. Not the way I saw this go, but this is where really the future set up as I look back. Because two things happened when this worked out. One, I realized I had to get help for myself. I had to get help professionally from my therapist, which I did. I had to get help from my wife and my family and my close friends, and realize I had to take care of myself better mentally and emotionally and even physically. So I did that, which is something I have to deal with every day. And I do, and it worked this opportunity. The second is I can look back at it and see how it's set up getting here today, standing up here in front of all you wonderful people. Because I knew, as I was a stay-at-home parent, I was going to have to go back to work and do something with my life. And God, that's when he kicked it in. It's like, dude, you've been in ministry for a while. This is it. So that's when I got kind of the kick in the pants to enroll in seminary and take the steps, which through a number of other things led us here today. I took an opportunity that I thought was going to set me up one way like this. It did not at all go the way I thought. But it did set up my future in an entirely different way. And God was so stinking present in that whole thing. So how has God set up your future from past opportunities, big or small? Right? It may not be this situation like I had. Maybe it is. But how has God worked on your future from an opportunity? Did a relationship form? Are you maybe in some type of better place now because of what happened financially? It could be the location. Did you move, whether it's apartments or cities? Emotionally, spiritually, and don't neglect those. Looking back, are you in a better place with those than you were? And then take a look at your current opportunities that you have. Is God moving you towards a future? I think these are harder to see because obviously we don't know what's coming. But talk to God. Just be like, man, where might this lead us? And he might reveal it. He might not. But look at those opportunities. Pray about the future with an opportunity. But look at those opportunities, past and present, and see what happens in the future with those. Where is God leading you to a future with those? We will all have and have had big and small opportunities present themselves in our lives. I want to encourage you to see how God is a part of those. Is he providing for a need through those? Just like he provided for Ruth and Naomi, just meeting a need that's there. Is he providing an abundance? You know, more than what you were expecting. More, a little more than what you need. Is there an opportunity for you to be abundantly generous and to give an abundance of something, like we're seeing from our guy Boaz? And then is God working on your future with an opportunity? Any type of future. Work, life, relationships, social, emotional, spiritual, pick any of it. Is God working on a future in those opportunities? Think about the past and pray about the future of those. But when opportunities knock, please don't forget about God. Take a look and see where God is in those opportunities. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for today. Thank you for this chapter on Ruth, God, and that you gave Ruth this opportunity, first off, just to go to the fields, but then, God, how you worked in that opportunity in so many ways with providing for her needs and the generous amount of food and protection and everything she was given. And then to see how the future played out, or how you're setting up the future. So, God, I pray for us as we encounter opportunities that come, God, that we would look for you in those. We would pray about them, just even if it's just that you're there having our backs through them. And, God, I pray that you would also reveal how you've been at work in other opportunities. And, God, if we haven't seen you in those, that you would open up our eyes to see your work behind the scenes in those opportunities. So, God, I thank you again for these words, for the story of Ruth, God, and how we can see you in every chapter of our lives. In your name, amen.